I could not be more excited to be here this morning. This is just a blessing, just to see the enthusiasm and the joy of the Lord, to see what God is doing here with the expansion. What did I hear when Pastor got up when they were doing expansion? They said, I have good news and bad news. The good news is all the money has been provided for the expansion. The bad news is that money's still in your pocket. So anyways, I don't know if that's going to get me in trouble or not, well, Pastor, but no. If you heard my wife, I didn't want to get up the same time as her because, boy, does she have the joy of the Lord in her. And so, yeah, that's exciting. But, yeah, my brother and my mother go to this church, and I travel all over the world, and you want to contextualize. That's a big word in missions. You want to try and identify with the people as much as possible. So lest I cause my mother and my brother to stumble, I brought a tie. I just want you to know I do have a tie. But in Nicaragua, when it's 95 degrees and I'm pouring a sweat, that was not quite as important. So, here I might need it to keep warm, but I love what God is doing and around the world, and I love what you're doing around the world. Sometimes you don't hear things like this, but by supporting us, so when you always kind of wonder what's going on with our money, where is our money going? You, by you giving, God has blessed us, and we have been able to not only meet our needs, but we've been now getting to a place where we want to be to give to others, to start ministering. So through you, so when you know, you don't think about writing a check or putting the money in the offering. You helped this year a church planning school get started in India where these men and women are going out and are establishing the gospel in villages that have never heard the gospel. That's what you're doing. Okay, little things like this, serving beyond borders, we're not trying to get big. There are big organizations that do big things, and that's great. We don't. We want to stay small and reach people that nobody's heard of. We're not going to get on TV. We're not going to make appeals and stuff. But by your giving, you helped. What does a Muslim woman do when she becomes a believer in Jesus Christ? Who does she marry? Because according to the laws of her custom and her place, she can't marry a Christian. That's illegal. But she wants to marry a Christian, so what does she have to do? So she has to flee the country, and she has to leave. And who's going to help her? Who's going to help her do this? You are. That's what your giving did. We actually have friends that's happened to, and by your giving, God is doing big things around the world, but he's doing small things and helping people. That's what ministry is really all about.
Yes.
So what I want to do this morning is I want to share some of what God is doing and what we're about at Serving Beyond Borders, what our message is, and what we have seen God doing around the world, but it also applies to here in Talmadge, Ohio. Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor in his hometown, but that's before the power of the Holy Spirit was given to us. I'm back home. Many of you know this. This is the city I was born in, the city I was raised in. And I was the prodigal. I don't have too many good, fond memories because I was not walking with Jesus in Talmadge, Ohio. But then God grabbed me. And never give up praying. My mom's still in shock. We try to make her not. We hope she doesn't faint every time she sees me get in the pulpit. Like, how did this happen? And it's a testimony of God's amazing grace. But we are going to talk about revival this morning. Because we're seeing revival all over the world. It's actually interesting. Many of you followed our journey. We were 12 years in the Middle East, and we saw little fruit. We did. We were just sowing and sowing. We saw little fruit. And that God, in a powerful story, I just love to tell a story, how God called us home. Our calling to come back to Akron, Ohio was stronger than our calling to go in the Middle East. You know, you tell people, I'm going to the Middle East to be a missionary. Oh, that's awesome. Whoa, that's awesome. And I'm going back to Akron, Ohio. What? Why? Huh? What? You know, it's home. We really thought we were coming back home to bring revival. For you who followed our story, it didn't quite work out that way. And God said, no, I want you to go around the world now and preach revival. You're not to bring revival to the Akron area, but you're to help be a catalyst for that. And I really believe me standing in this pulpit is one of those reminders. You know, I traveled throughout Europe and the United States. Churches are closing down. Do you know that? I've seen churches sold and become mosques. And you guys are expanding.
Praise God.
You, are you excited about that? God is on the move. I hope so. Yeah, I'm interactive. You know that. So, yeah, I mean, but I know Pastor Les's too. I mean, you're not sleeping through Pastor Les's messages. I mean, we're like brothers from a different mother, right? I mean, you may not like us, you may not agree with us, but one thing with Pastor Les and I, you're going to stay awake through it. You're going to love us. Yeah. Revival, a reawakening of religious fervor. That's the definition of it. A reawakening of, and that's what we want to see around the world. And that's what Serving Beyond Borders exists for. And I want to just share, we have a simple threefold message, basic message that we preach and teach and go all around the world. And I want to bring it here to you. Now, I love coming back to America, but I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone a little bit because in our Western society, we're very rational, we're very logical, and we're very linear in the way we move, and that's good. I'm all for it. My master's is in systematic theology, my doctorate's in apologetics. I like that part of me. But I also like to, man, throw all the, you know, there's no PowerPoint this morning. I didn't think I could preach for a while without PowerPoint, you know? And there might not be a linear three-point. I'll still have 3 points for the Baptist in there. But, I mean, I'm just going to just share with you what God's doing. And I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Now, the other thing about the traveling around the world, most cultures, and you did do one thing wrong here. I'm sorry, but you shouldn't have taken the offering before I spoke, because I was going to ask them all to just donate your watches right now and just put it in the offering basket, because, you know, time.
We'll have another offering.
Okay, yeah. Time is relative in church services in so many parts of the world. So if you have your food on a timer at home, no, I'm just kidding. We'll be out here by 2, I promise. And some of you don't know what to think right now. But revivals happen. I love, you've probably heard this story before, but it's just a good reminder of how revival can happen in unexpected ways. You've probably heard the story of the rabbi who went to a barber shop, and he got his hair cut, and he went to pay the barber, and the barber said, no, I don't charge clergy for a haircut. Rabbi was very thankful. Well, the next day when the barber went to a shop to open it, there was a little present of Jewish rye bread for him. About a week later, a Catholic priest came in to get his hair cut, and the Catholic, he got his hair cut, and he went to pay, and the barber said, no, you don't have to pay. I don't charge clergy. And the priest was so happy and thanked him, and the next day when the barber went to open his store, there was a bottle of wine and a thank you note for him, and that was really nice. And well, then a Baptist minister went to get his hair cut about a month later, and he got his hair cut, and he went to pay, and the barber said, no, I don't charge clergy for a haircut. Baptist minister was so happy, and that's when revival broke out, because the next day 1,000 Baptist ministers were there to get their hair cut. So I know I have Baptist roots. I have Baptist roots, so I like that joke. So that's 2 Baptist jokes now. If you're offended, please talk to Pastor Les, okay? But revival, we want to see revival. We want to see God's power stirring up the church. Yeah. But you know, who's revival for? One of the models we have at our church when we're not traveling, we're based out of Tampa because our one son is there, and not Josiah, so he's in Texas, but you know, we weren't ready to handle the Republic of Texas yet. But we were there, and we have a motto that we use, and I love it. Moving people from where they are to where God wants them to be. You know, sometimes we think of that as non-Christians. No, that's for everyone. That's for me right now today. Because I don't know about you, I haven't arrived yet. I still want to be moved from where I am today to where God wants me to be. That's what I believe revival is. Moving us. We're all excited no matter what stage. Some of you are here today going, what is this Christianity about? Who is this guy? I came near Pastor Les, you know, and you're trying to just figure out this whole Christianity thing. God, we want to see God move you. Some of you, you've been in church your whole life. I mean, you were like, do you want your bottle? Say John 3:16, you know. That's how you grew up, you know. And we want to see you move from where you are to where God wants you to be. All of us need to keep moving, and that's what we mean by revival, and that's why I want to speak. And I believe revival, in my own personal life, I have a testimony. In churches, I've seen this testimony is based on answering 3 questions. three questions that Serving Beyond Borders exists and teaches, and we believe in, and this is what God is using to change lives around the world. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Let me pray one more time. Father, if you are not involved in this service right now, my words will just be words. But through your Holy Spirit, our lives can be changed by the power of your word. So speak through your word, Lord, and move all of us from where we are right now to where you want us to be for your honor and your glory and your reputation here in Talmadge, Ohio, and throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I try to keep up with Pastor Les. I drank three Red Bulls, a couple of venti Starbucks. I'm going to try and keep up with him. So if it gets a little excited in here, I'm just following my mentor, okay? Three questions. First question is what our ministry is founded on. It's the foundational part of our ministry of Serving Beyond Borders. Because around 2008, I started asking this question. And it grew out of living in an Islamic context. I've spoken on this here before, and I'll speak on it next time if you allow me back after this service. But, you know, because, you know, I learned something about Muslims. I admire a couple things about Islam. One of the things I admire the most, if I meet a Muslim in Saudi Arabia, Bangladesh, or here in Talmadge, Ohio, and I ask that Muslim, what is your message? What do I need to believe in order to go to paradise, to Jannah in Arabic? What is your bottom line message? What is your gospel, good news that I must believe? Do you know they will all give the same answer? La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That's Arabic for there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is the apostle or prophet of Allah. You must believe that, say it three times in front of witnesses, and you become a Muslim. They don't deviate. So that got me thinking. And since 2008, I have been doing surveys all over the world. I've done them at pastors' conferences, missions conferences, whole churches, Sunday school classes, anywhere I can get a group of Christians together. I give them a piece of paper and I say, what is our gospel message? What is the gospel that we must believe in order to be saved? Since 2008, I've done this. I should have counted and done surveys and kept them, but I can tell you this. For almost 10 years now, I've been doing this hundreds, if not thousands of times. I have never once had a group have a consensus in the answer. And even more startling, I've never once had it where the majority of the group, whether it's 10 people, I've never had six or above. If it's 500 people, I've never had 250 and above. I've never had a majority actually get the answer right. Isn't that amazing? And we wonder why our churches are so fragmented around the world. I wonder why we have denominational lines and are fighting with everybody and all that. It's because we can't even agree on the one thing that Paul says in Galatians chapter 1. Even if an angel comes to you and preaches another gospel, let him be anathema, cursed. Well, how do we know what a wrong gospel is if we don't agree on the right one? So we go around the world and we share and remind Christians what is the gospel. If you have your Bibles, would you open with me to 1 Corinthians 15? Good thing is I travel all over the world and I still forget to bring my glasses with me. So Les, this is why we memorize scripture, right? Yeah. So I ask you this question. What is the gospel? Do you know it? Do you know it? It's really a simple answer. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand." So Paul's saying, here is the gospel I preached. We know Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Most of us in this room are Gentiles. He is our apostle. Now, if you want to just a little theology here for you, because I love this, so you know I'm not a heretic. Paul takes this gospel in Galatians chapter 1 and 2, and he takes the gospel message he was preaching, and he submitted it to the elders in Jerusalem, Peter, James, and John and said, this is the gospel I preach. They examine it and they give them the right hand of fellowship. So there is only one gospel by which people are saved, whether it's Jew or Gentile. It's the one gospel, and this is it. He says in verse 2, this gospel by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So this is the gospel they stand by. This is what they believed, and this is how they are saved. Verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Paul didn't make this up. He received it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1 and 2 again. And this is it. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. And that he appeared to Cephas and the 12. And then he goes on to talk about the other appearing. But that's the message right there. The gospel. Christ died for our sins. Was buried and was raised on the third day. That's it.
Amen.
Well, it's not that simple, is it? Come on, no. It's that simple. And if you are saved, born again, have eternal life, whatever term you want to use, it was because at some point in your life, you realized the three points of the gospel. You realize first, the great confession of faith. Remember, all three of the synoptic gospels talk about, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, talk about the story of Jesus saying, hey, who do people say that I am? Some say Elijah, some say the prophet. Then he looks at his disciples, his followers, and says, who do you say that I am? And the great confession of faith, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, another survey I love to do is ask, what is Christ? And most people, you know what they think the name Christ is? It's a name. It's his last name. That's not right. Okay? I love when my brother actually prays, Randy. He always, almost always prays in the name of Jesus, the Christ, because it's the title. You don't say Doug the Lay. You know, because it's the Messiah. That's who he is. All the prophecies about him in the Old Testament, he's not a man. He's the Son of the living God. Amen. All the fulfillment of all the promise, Emmanuel, God with us. Yeah. Died for our sins and then was raised on the third day. Now, here's a fun thing I love to say. You know what the largest religion in the world is? I travel all over the world. You know what the largest religion in the world is? It's not Islam. It's Christianity. Now, think about this. Jesus says in Matthew that wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few enter into it. Wait, it's the largest religion. What? Maybe it's because not everybody who says they are a Christian is actually born again. Now, Doug, that's judgmental. Well, no, I didn't make this stuff up. This is the gospel. You need to believe it in order to be saved. So when I evangelize, people are all excited about, oh, I'm going into Muslim countries, and I'm going into Hindu and Buddhist countries. Yeah, and you know what? And I also go into Christian countries.
Amen.
And I always preach the gospel everywhere I go. Now, I base the gospel on three holidays, okay? Three holidays. Most people who call themselves Christians understand two of the holidays. We call them what? Let me try this one out. There was four churches that were in problems with squirrels. And, you know, the town was being infested by squirrels, and so squirrels kept coming in. So what happened? Well, the Presbyterian church figured God had predestined them to have squirrel problems, so they didn't do anything about it. The Methodist church was very loving and very kind, so they didn't hurt the squirrels. They caught them in cages and took them out into the you know, woods and all that. The Catholic church, too, wanting to be loving, caught them, too. They tried to teach them the rhythm method, but they kept having babies, so they didn't get rid of them either. And so, and I know that's going to get me in trouble, but the Baptists, they trained them. They taught them to become Baptist squirrels, so they only saw them again on Christmas and Easter. And so, man, I'm really bad. I'm sorry, Pastor Les, but that there's funny. Come on, I don't care what you're from. That there's funny. So, I don't think our biggest problem is we laugh too much in church, is it? Is that it? It's okay to laugh because it's going to get intense here in a second. See, everybody understands that joke because we all understand Christmas and Easter Christians. who show up on Christmas and Easter. And that's what a lot of Christianity is. Yes, Jesus, yeah, I believe he's the Christ. He's the Son of God. Yes, I have a cross or a crucifix. I believe that. Oh, yeah, I celebrate Easter. I love the resurrection and all that. But they forget the third holiday that's associated with it. There's three parts to the gospel. Christ, the Son of the living God, born of a virgin at Christmas. You know, and that's why we celebrate the virgin birth and that and Christmas. Resurrection, yes, he rose from the dead. But it's that missing part of the gospel. Christ died for my sins. For my sins. And everybody understand these holidays. Do you guys know what September 16th, 1975? Do you know that date? Do you know August 15th, 1947? Do you know that date? Do you know September 15th, 1821? Do you know those dates? Okay, well, do you know this date? July 4th, 1776? What day is that? Independence Day. Every country I go to, they all have Independence Days. People understand that holiday where the nation became born. It became a new country. A new nation was formed. And that's it. Now, I love to ask people, if you know Christmas and you know Easter, do you know the Independence Day of your life? Do you know when Christ died for your sins? Do you know the reality of that? That's when you become born again. Amen. We have to preach this message all over the world. We have to preach it all over the world. We have to preach it in Talmadge, Ohio. Because people need to hear that there is an Independence Day. That Jesus didn't just die at Christmas and rise on Easter just for holidays. He did it so that you could have a personal holiday. That you could have an Independence Day in your life. Mine was July 7th, 1980. My girlfriend at the time, hers was August 31st, 1980. On 252 South Alling Road in my mom's bedroom, I got down on my knees and I realized I was a sinner. But you know what? Then I realized Christ died for my sins. And he's the one who could fix my messed upness. And so I gave my life and I became born again. And because I'm born again, I want to see you become born again. Amen. Because nothing's better than being saved.
Amen.
That's the greatest message. If we don't start there, it doesn't really matter. And I just want you to get excited. I was training a young man in Tampa. But, you know, when I was traveling, I was there and I was disciple. I'm going to disciple people everywhere I go. And I have this young guy I'm discipling. And I loved he was in a Bible study. And this 60-year-old guy comes to a Bible study. And he starts asking all these questions. And my friend just kept bringing it back to the gospel. I trained him. Just bring it back to God. Don't argue about predestination and free will. Don't try to figure out eternal security. Don't try to figure out when the rapture is going to happen. You know what you first do? You first establish, do you believe the gospel? Yeah. Then let's have a fun discussion. Okay? Figure out when the next Browns victory is. I mean, you know, some of these mysteries that we can't figure out. I mean, yes. Knew that would get a reaction. But. And this man in the Bible study cries out at 60 years old, God, save me. And he became born again and got baptized. I'm preaching in a Latin American country, and the man strung out on drugs. His life is just messed up, and he's hearing. And I don't mince words. I don't believe in mincing words. I'm kind of a forthright guy, forgive me, but I just don't have time to mince a lot of times. And so even speaking, I was like, you can live your life messed up and be on drugs your whole life and just go down a path, and it's your choice. Or right now, you can give your life to Jesus Christ because he died for your sins, and he's alive, and he wants to make a difference. And I watch a guy hear the gospel. And I go back to Nicaragua 6 months later. He's accepted Jesus Christ. He was baptized as a profession of his faith. And he's walking with Jesus. Amen. The gospel is sick. Paul told you stories. A man getting rid of all of his idols. I mean, he was so proud of, like, he got rid of all of his idols. And he's saying, I follow the true God now, Jesus. The gospel is still changing lives. And we always have to start there. Before you go to any other discussion, just start, hey, what do you believe? Mm-hmm. What's your gospel? And then I love, this is, smooth it over when I'm all done, Les. Just smooth it over. Do you have an Independence Day? Do you have an Independence Day? Because you need one. You need to be set free because we can't go on to the rest of the revival until you start there. And I meet all sorts of Christians of like, well, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't. The Bible's clear. You were born dead in your sins. So I don't care if it was 3 years old in your mother's bedroom or if it was 60 years old at a Bible study. There has to come a place where you have to say, I need Jesus.
Amen.
I need Jesus. And what do you need? Because he's not a man. He's the Son of the living God, and he died for your sins and he rose again. It all starts with the gospel. So I pray when I come back here next year, I'm going to give you all a piece of paper. Maybe 2 years. We'll have to let you calm down for a little bit. But I'm going to give you a piece of paper and a pen, and I'm going to say, what's the gospel? And I pray you get it right. Because how can you share the gospel unless you know the gospel? But if you know the gospel, you'll be excited to share it because it's that simple. Christ died for our sins and was raised on the third day. I love what my son Josiah, he's the one who challenged me one time because I always like to personalize it. Christ died for my sins, right? Christ doesn't say that. Christ died for our sins because Christ died for community.
Yes.
It's not just individualism. We're in this together, aren't we?
Amen.
And I love that. Miss Bailey, I call her that because she was Josiah's teacher. She knows she's in here somewhere. And we're like, we're together. You're praying for me and I know it. I get sick a lot. I'm an intense guy. I go over, I give every time I come back, I'm sick. But I know there's people praying for me. And don't tell me to slow down. I'll slow down in heaven. I'm going to keep up with Pastor Les. We're in this together. And it's about the gospel and seeing lives changed. Can't say preach that enough. Second question I love to ask. This is a fun one I love to ask, especially in a church like this. You know your Bible. I love it. Pastor Les. They gave me a lesson already. Yeah, that's right. Matthew starts with Emmanuel and ends with Emmanuel. Man, why am I preaching? Get up. No, stay. You're a Bible-believing church, so you know the Bible. When Jesus had his disciples gather together, Luke 24:47, Acts 1:8, he told his disciples, stay there and don't leave Jerusalem. I'm going up to heaven. This was after the resurrection. I'm going up to heaven. I'm going to send you. You're going to receive something after I go to heaven. Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive this. What were they going to receive? Everybody says the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You're wrong. I love it. I get them every time. I get it. I do this all over the world. I don't care if you speak Arabic, Spanish, whatever. You will receive, think about it, yeah, Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So not only first do we start with the gospel, and I forgot to share this with you. We're coming out with a booklet. It's coming out. We're putting it on. This is what Josiah has been doing. It's coming out online with our website, January 1st. We're going to blast it here so you can download it for free. It's what I just preached to you. It's the gospel message. We never sell anything. We never sell anything. Never sell anything. Freely you've received, freely give. We're going to give this book away. We're going to make it downloadable for free. We're getting it translated right now into Spanish and Arabic, and I want to see it translated in every country. And I'm not going to rest, and we're not going to stop until every person who professes the name of Jesus Christ knows and understands the gospel so they can share it. So you're helping do that. So thank you for that part. That is a shameless plug. But anyways, it's not a shameless plug when you don't sell it, right? And you're giving it away. But once you're saved, I know a lot of Christians who are saved, but their lives are messed up. They don't see victory in their life. They're just flatlining the way they live. There's no power. There's no excitement. They're not seeing people, you know, lives change. They haven't led anyone to the Lord. They haven't seen miracles happen. They're just living life. Is that what Jesus died for?
No.
I love asking. I heard a TV preacher say this. I'm not going to endorse him. But I did love this point. I heard him say one time, and it just grabbed. Did Jesus die on the cross so that you can be broke, busted, and disgusted? That's not what he died for. Do you know we're all prosperity gospel preachers? We're all prosperity gospel. Do you know that? Because I go into places where they literally are living in garbage dumps. I did a ministry in the Middle East where I literally was in a place where people were living in garbage dumps. 6 months ago, I was in Latin America in a place where people were working and moving and making their living in garbage dumps. I mean, like the worst of the worst. I almost threw up. I literally was gagging and could hardly stay there. I've seen utter poverty. None of us are there. Okay, none of us, I always like to say I'm a prosperity gospel preacher who drives a Kia Soul. So go figure that one out, okay? That's one of my, now you're confused, right? God wants to bless you, but he wants to bless you to bless others. I love that prayer you did for us. Bless. And he wants to give you the power so that you can live the blessed life, so you have a testimony, that you can be irrationally generous with people, so that you can have such joy that people are like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you complaining like everyone else? Do you know the living God? I love to do this with Muslims. You want to make a Muslim go crazy or kill you, one of the two? You say to him, you know the true God, Allah. You know the God who created everything, the God who's above all. You know that God? You know he lives inside of me? That's blasphemous. That is blasphemous. Don't do it. They would. It's blasphemy. But you know what? That's Christianity. God has sent his spirit to live inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And because of that, we have power, it says. We have power. Do you have power in your life? Are you seeing God's power manifested through you so that others can be blessed? Because what do we mean by power? Well, one of my favorite verses to go to is Acts chapter 10, verse 38. If you have your Bible, let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Ooh, I'm getting excited now. This is good stuff. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Peter is preaching, and he says in verse 38, you know Jesus of Nazareth. He uses his human title, Jesus of Nazareth. He was a man. He was born a man. Yes, the Son of God, but don't forget his humanity. Jesus could have done everything as the Son of God, but he didn't. He emptied himself. The kenosis, if you study theology in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus didn't do everything as the Son of God. Now, my theology's okay. Come quiz me afterwards. But he laid it aside and he took on flesh. And Peter says that he was born, Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Think about that. Jesus did not do any miracles until when? After he was baptized by John. And when he was baptized by John, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon him. Why? Because Jesus wanted to teach us. He wanted to teach us how to live this human life. And what did Jesus then do? He went and sent us this Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that comes upon you. Do you believe that? Well, let's not get crazy. What, are we going to become Pentecostals here? What? I don't want to argue those things. I said, somebody say, yes, that's pretty good. I mean, I want my Pentecostal friends to walk and go, that Doug, he sure is evangelical. I don't get him. And I want my evangelicals to say, I don't know, that Doug, he kind of leans toward that, you know, Holy Spirit stuff. I want to be in the radical middle. That is the term we use in our ministry. We are in the radical middle. Don't come argue with me about tongues. I won't get into that discussion with you. I won't do it. Because the first thing I'm going to do is ask you, are you born again? I'm going to ask you about the gospel. And then the second thing I'm going to do is tell me about the power that I'm seeing manifested in your life. Show me the miracles that God is doing in and through you. Show me how God is using you to bring people to Christ. Show me how God is discipling you. And maybe, just maybe, we'll get in some little theological argument. But I want to hear about power first, because that's what God emphasized. Power. So look what this power does, verse 38. And how Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. That's what Jesus did. And brothers and sisters, that's what God wants to do through you. And if that doesn't get you excited, if it doesn't get you excited, then not only did God save you, rescue you from your sins, give you a new life, make you a new creation, and guarantee you heaven, but he wants to give you this crazy life here on earth that you can minister and do great things for him. Here in Talmadge, Ohio, or there in Mozambique, it doesn't matter where you're at. People are always, oh, the mission field, that's so cool. Tell me another story. What do you want to hear? Casting out demons in India, I've done it, okay? Casting out demons in Egypt, I've done it. I've seen people set free, but you know what? I was at the chapel preaching, the chapel, the bastion of Pentecostalism, right? And a man comes up to me years ago and says, I got to go in for kidney dialysis, and I'm scared. I don't, hey, bro, let's play. Let's pray right here, right there in the middle. I just laid my hands and prayed on him. 6 months later, I'm back there speaking again, and this guy comes up and goes, remember me? And being the good pastor that I'm like, no, I don't remember you. He goes, you prayed for me. And when I went into the hospital the next day to begin dialysis, they did the test to prepare, and I didn't have to have it done. And I've been free for 6 months now. I've never, it's like a miracle. And he goes, what should I do? I think he wanted me to take him up on stage and, you know, have a testimony, maybe get some TVs out there. I said, bro, just go pray for people. Why don't you just pray for healing for others? Does everybody you pray for get healed? No. Does everybody you witness to get saved?
No.
But you better keep witnessing.
Amen.
And just keep praying and let the sovereign God do what he wants to do.
That's right.
I don't get caught up on that. You just do what Jesus did and let God sort it out. But God wants to use you. He wants to use you. And what that power will do will start tearing down the number one tool of the enemy. I see it all over the world. And I see it right here in America. Fear. Fear. People are always living in fear. What's going to happen? Oh, it's getting so bad. Like the devil's winning. I got good news. He lost already. Okay? He lost. He lost at the cross. He lost at the resurrection. He's going to lose at the second coming. And he's not winning in between.
Amen.
Unless you let him in your life. Because you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. So if you're not seeing power in your life, that's probably why. But I got good news. God's a forgiving God and God's a good God. So all you got to do is say, God, why aren't I living in power? Please give me this power. And then just go out and by faith, just start doing things. Just start praying for opportunities. Randy and I love it. Talmadge, this is revival. You know what? I'm getting excited. You've got a coffee shop. You got a coffee shop on the circle. Oh, hallelujah. Good coffee in Talmadge. It's not Dunkin'. Sorry if you're a Dunkin' fan. But anyways. Randy and I wanted to go celebrate. I went and bought the most expensive cup of coffee I could just to honor her. Randy and I are in there. We meet a girl. She starts talking. Next thing you know, we're praying over her right there. And by the time we got done, Randy, she could have ran through the wall for Jesus, couldn't she?
Amen.
I don't need to go overseas to do that. I can do it right here in Talmadge, Ohio. I'm just wanting to share the gospel. I'm just wanting to encourage people and say that they can live the life that God wants them to live. We use this phrase all the time. People laugh at us. We're living the dream. Well, that's because you're a missionary. No, I said the same thing when I was an unemployed 50-year-old pastor. I believed it then. I believe it now. Our God's good. My God's good to me. I'm an okay parent. Ask Josiah what his opinion is afterwards. And you know what? I never had the parenting thought of, I'm going to try and screw my kids up. I'm going to really mess them up and, you know, tease them and make them feel bad and promise them gifts and then not give it to them. I don't think that's very good for a parent to do. But a lot of us, that's what we think our Father in heaven wants to do. You think our Father just kind of wants to promise you things but not really give you anything. You think that he kind of wants to be good to you, but he really wants you to suffer and be miserable. Because that's the way of the cross, right? No, you suffer for Jesus' sake, not for disobedience. I get suffering for Jesus' sake. I'm all willing to. And we sacrifice for Jesus' sake. But he doesn't want to make you unhappy. There should be joy in it. Do you have a rational joy? Is that your biggest problem? People are like, man, you got to calm down. You're just a little too excited. That's why I love Pastor Les. And I'm not just bragging on him, because that's why I love coming here. I love listening to his sermons on the internet. The bro has excitement for Jesus. Have you found that out yet?
Right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And this church just walking in, everybody's greeting one another and having like, whoa, this is good news.
Amen.
Power. He wants to give you power. Now, how do you do it? Well, Luke's very clear. Just ask. Just ask. Just say, Lord, I don't know what that guy's talking about, but I do want the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love this. Mine came in 1986. I had a guy call me out and say, hey, Doug, are you living for Christ? No, why not? Kind of shook me up. Got down on my knees. I didn't see angels descending and ministering to me. I didn't start doing rolling, you know, jumping over pews, rolling around. You know what? I got up and by faith, I just started doing things for the Lord. And he started showing up because he's faithful.
Amen.
That's all you got to do. Next time you get that little butterfly in your stomach because you're supposed to share the gospel, you know what you do? You share the gospel. The next time somebody tells you they're sick, don't sit there and go, oh, yeah, life's so bad. It's so hard. Oh, I feel so bad for you. Say, hey, can we just pray for you? Somebody's having financial crisis and stuff. You know what? Open up your wallet, give what you have, and then let's pray for them. I just gave a lady a $50 tip. I'm not that rich. I am in Jesus. But you know what? She knew I was a Christian. I don't know if you know, but Christians don't have the best reputation in the restaurant industry. The only mistake is I didn't get to pray for her then. Usually we like to ask to pray for them and that. God wants to use you in wild and crazy ways. When you start doing it, your life's going to be turned upside down. And there's going to be a revival that's going to break out in your personal life and then in your family, because your family's going to think you lost your mind. What's wrong with you? You on those holy rollers? Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, I am. Next thing you know, there's going to be a revival in your workplace or in your neighborhood or wherever you're ministering at. Next thing you know, your church is going to get on fire. The next thing you know, the whole city's going to be talking about you. That's how revival happens. I see it all over the world. And the third thing is, and I'll close up, I won't make this one too long. But this one probably you need to hear the most, this third question. So first question, what is the gospel? Second is, what did Jesus promise you would receive? And the third one, do your words betray what you believe? Do your words betray what you believe? I had a radical transformation in 2008. I was saved in 1980, the gospel. Power of the Holy Spirit, 1986, living dynamic ever since that time for Jesus. But in 2008, I got caught out. I got caught out by that gospel, that TV preacher. Most of you don't know him, but I found it. Can't even recommend him because people think I lost my mind. And I went with a missionary, challenged me to read his book, and I didn't want to read it. I had a bad attitude. But you know what? I never got through the first chapter. It's not Joel Osteen. That's what you're all thinking. But anyway, somebody you've never heard of. But because he talked about what kind of words come out of your mouth. Words that show what you believe. Are they words of life or words of death? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 is a verse I would encourage you to memorize. It's really simple. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. What comes out of your mouth? I had to repent. You know who I spoke the most words of death over? Myself. I thought it was humility, but it was, I'm not that smart. I'm always forgetting things. I'm always getting sick. Why am I saying words of death over myself? I had to repent before the Lord. Lord, you created me, and you, for some reason, you saved me. You must think something about me, and you love me enough to let, why am I talking bad about your son? Next thing I do, what about marriage? Honey, look like you put on a few pounds. Yeah, that's really going to help the date night, you know? That's really going to create intimacy. You know, the little things we say over, she burns the toast all the time. That's real funny. I had to go back. I dropped to my knees and repented to my wife for all the words of death I might have said to her over the time. I should be lifting you up. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. I know many Christians who would never say a cuss word, and all they do is say unwholesome words because they're always bad-mouthing or talking bad about this. I love our church down south. I love it. Our pastor has a thing. We will never talk bad about another Christian. We just won't. We'll let God judge them. Whoa, did that convict me? What about my children? I had to go back to Joe's side. I had to go to all my kids and talk to them about words of life and like, forgive me. How many parents? You're not that smart. You're not like your sister. That's really going to build them up, right? How many parents need to go back and say, I need to be speaking words of life? Listen now. Here's your homework assignment. Listen to the conversations. And hear if you hear words of life or words of death. Have you ever listened to our radio or TV programs? How many times you just feel yucky after listening to them? I don't care if it's Fox or MSNBC or CNN. You just watch the news. What do you feel like? Things are going well? Do you know how prosperous we are in America? Do you know how prosperous we are? And all you do is hear how bad it is. You know, most places I come to, I have to preach this message. The kingdom of God is not the United States, because they're all wanting to come here. Why? But yet if you come here, all you hear is negative and how bad things are. I don't care if it's Obama or Trump or whoever, where it gets this and it's that. And Christians, let me tell you, we're winning. The gospel is advancing throughout the kingdom. The world is being changed. Lives are being transformed. Yes, it's coming to the end days. People are always asking me, what about Jerusalem, Paul Mitchell? What about Jerusalem? You know what? It just means we're one step closer to Jesus coming back. Hallelujah. That's something to get excited about. Well, they're going to persecute us. Hallelujah. We go to heaven faster. What are we living in fear? Speak words of life. Our son, we've been telling, many of you know this, our youngest, one of our grandsons over in Holland, 4 years old, he's in the hospital right now. They can't figure out what it is. They're doing all these tests. And is this a time of fear? No. No, I will not live in fear, and I will not speak words of death. I'm going to speak words of life. And if God would take him home, you know what I'm going to say? Praise be to God. If God will heal him and make him better, you know what I'm going to say? Praise be to God, because our God is on the throne. He's advancing his kingdom. He knows what he's doing, and we should be excited about that, not living under fear. What words come out of your mouth? Oh, I'm always sick. Oh, I don't feel well. Well, hallelujah. You just proclaim what you are. Instead of, you know, I don't feel well, but I'm believing it's going to get better because God is, he's on the move. I got a great illustration for this, and here's another homework assignment. Oh, you ready for this one? Look out your window. Which side? It's this side. Has anybody ever done a building project before? They always run smooth, don't they? There's never ever any hiccups, right? Pastor Les this morning, how's it going out there? Oh, you know. It's great. God is good. He did exactly what I'm going to tell you to do. Here's your homework. How are you going to talk about the building project? Oh, they didn't show up on time. Oh, it's not going. It's, oh, the money. Oh, no. You know, the world's going to hell. You're expanding. God's blessing you. People are getting saved. Money's coming in. If that doesn't get you excited, join another religion. No, don't do that. I meet Christians who are complaining all the time, and I tell them you're a Mormon, tell them you're a Jehovah's Witness. Don't mess up the truth of our gospel. Our God is good, and he loves his children, and he wants to do good. Are you experiencing the goodness of God? If not, I would encourage you, listen to your own words. Are you a person who's lifting up, or are you a person who's tearing down? Are you the person, I love this illustration, are you the person when you walk into the room, do you say, here I am? Or are you the person who walks in the room and say, oh, there you are? Because see, God wants to bless you. He wants to save you. Then he wants to empower you to change others' lives. And nothing is more exciting when I'm there in Mozambique and I'm sitting next to a gang member, one of the worst gangs where you have to kill somebody to get into this gang. He's there. He's got the tattoos. He's got the markings. I'm sitting next to him like, okay, I preach about don't be afraid. And as I spoke, tears come to his eyes. And he's a follower now of Jesus Christ. Amen. I got put into a jail cell. Literally, I'm in a country, and I got put into a jail cell, and they locked the door. Me and the translator. I'm in a cell that was to fit probably 50 people, and there were about 110 in there, I would say. We're in there. They gave me a new piece of cardboard to sit on because all the other ones were urine stained. Everyone's laying around their underwear. It's about 100 degrees. It was insane. It was literally. And I'm sitting in there. And I said, how many of you plan to be in this place? And I stopped and I said, no, all of you plan to be here. You could have heard a pin drop. I said, by your lack of planning of your life, this is right where you plan to be. My translator's nervous right now. I mean, literally, there's no guards, there's nothing. And these inmates sat because I was willing to talk honest to them and say, God can change your life. God can change your life. And if you start planning now, 10 years from now, you can be doing miraculous things for our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Revival broke out in the jail cell. And when I went back 6 months later, they were still talking about it. I'm not that great. I'm not. That sounded very arrogant, and please forgive me. You who know me, Randy will tell you stories. And it's not. But I know the truth of these three things that brought revival to my life. The gospel. I'm empowered. And I'm going to speak words of life until Jesus comes back. What is this church going to be known for? The gospel. I listened to Pastor Les's message. He preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hear you guys talk about the Holy Spirit and believing in God is empowering you to do great things for his name's sake. And take it to the next level. Speak words of life. Encourage one another. Rebuke. We were just out, my son, the other day, and I said a word of death, and they called me on it. That's when it's not fun to be the preacher. I still slip into words of death. but I want to represent Jesus well. Do you?
Amen.
Are you known for being too excited, or are you the Debbie Downer or the Donald Downer? Why do I always pick on the women? Sorry. Which are you? What are you known for? Maybe today's the day for a personal revival in your life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, please? Three categories, three questions. Maybe for some of you, the first question is the most important you need to answer right now. Do you have an Independence Day in your life? Do you have a day where you knew you accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ? Maybe this is that moment right now. Maybe some of you, God is knocking on your heart, and I'm just going to ask right now for you to, if God's wanting, God's speaking and saying, you really have never accepted my forgiveness of your sins. Maybe God's saying to your heart right now, you've been in church, but you've not become my child yet. Maybe today's the day of salvation for you. And it's just that simple, believing that Christ died for your sins. For your sins. And he's willing to forgive you for everything you've done. He nailed it to the cross already. You just need to believe it and accept his forgiveness. And that he rose from the dead and he's alive and he's going to come back to take you home. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm just going to ask you, though, maybe if God's speaking and this is a moment where you actually have to make a profession of faith to say, yeah, I want to believe. Would you just slip up your hand right now and just say, I want to accept this gospel that you talk about. So all it is, it's not for me, it's for you to just say before the Lord, I'm going all in. Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. For some of you, it's the second question that's haunting you. You've been a Christian, you've accepted it, you could have shared the gospel up here, but you're flatlining. You're not seeing God's power in your life. You've not led anyone to the Lord in years, if ever. You've not prayed and seen God answer a prayer in an amazing way. You're just kind of a good person. And you realize you need that power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe for some of you right now, this is a moment where you need to just say before the Lord, I want this power. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand right now and just put it right back down? But it's before the Lord. Thank you. It's just before the Lord. Just being honest enough to say, I want this. And God will never reject those who humble themselves enough and come before him. For some of you, God just spoke to your heart powerfully because you've been a person who spoke words of death. You are the negative one. And you want to repent right now and say, Lord, I want to speak words of life. I want to bring life to people like you brought to me. Nobody likes to repent, but it's necessary for revival to break out in your own heart. And if that's you, would you just slip up your hand and just as acknowledgement before the Lord and say, I want to start speaking words of life. Thank you. Thank you. God, your word is so clear. You never reject the humble. You oppose the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And these ones who raise their hands before you, Lord, in humility to say that they need you and they need salvation, Lord. Those who raise their hands to say that they need the power of the Holy Spirit and they've been trying to live this life in their own power instead of yours, Lord. For those who have been speaking words of death and they acknowledge that, Lord, and they want to speak words of life, Lord, pour out your amazing grace on them. Give them the victory, Lord. Give them the power. Answer their prayers. Let them know what a great God you are and how you love them and you want to bless them and you want to use them so that the kingdom can expand here in Talmadge and it can affect us missionaries so that we can become empowered even more, Lord. So when we go out, we represent this church, we represent these people, and we go out and we share the gospel, Lord, and we share the power of the Holy Spirit, and we see the manifestations of your kingdom starting to fulfill here on earth, and we proclaim the words of life that our God reigns and there is no one like him. So Lord, bless these people, bless them, answer their prayers so that your name, not to us, oh Lord, not to us, but to your name we give glory.
Yes, Lord.
So that your name here in Talmadge, Ohio will be magnified.
Yes, Lord.
We pray this believing in Jesus' name. Amen.